right, short intro today. You know, we want to get right into it. I'm a little tired. With the watch parties, I figured out we have done 34 shows in the last 30 days. And I know everybody's a little bit beat with the extended wrestling weekend between SummerSlam and what went down with Ric Flair and Raw tonight. Wow. What a refreshing episode of Raw. I mean, if you look at it, we had run-ins, disqualifications, no contests. We've had referees that allowed four women to stand ringside, climb the ropes, and he's just acting like an AEW referee. Like, what am I supposed to do? So, you know, we got some of what we always do, but wow, does it feel different when you got some of your favorites out there? Hey, I'm not complaining. It goes to show you that, yeah, you just change a couple of ingredients, and that's the difference of, you know, being an average episode of Raw and being a really fun episode edition of Raw. So we'll talk about Raw. We will talk a little bit about Ric Flair and what went down last night. I did watch the match. I only have about 2 or 3 minutes of, you know, comments about it. I think I think I'm on both sides of the aisle. You'll hear me criticize a little bit, and you'll hear me say some positive things about it as well. But if you have not had a chance to check out our SummerSlam recap from Saturday night, I keep thinking Sunday, you know, for everybody on video, when I go like this, a link will pop up. You could go check it out. And for everybody who is live tonight, I will give you a 5-minute countdown in a few minutes. I won't make everybody wait all night. I know that there's some people that do that, especially on YouTube. You know, they want you to stay as long as possible in one sitting because it helps that algorithm. Fuck the algorithm. You know, not fuck the algorithm, but as long as you're having a good time, that's all that matters. Tonight, live, for everybody who is a subscriber here, we're going to do a Guess the Ratings contest for Monday Night Raw tonight. And someone who comes closest to predicting a Raw rating is going to win that autographed Vince McMahon photo. And like I always say, even if you're not a fan of Vince, throw it on eBay. Get $100, $200 for the photo. I don't care. You know, whatever you want to do with it. Give it to someone else. Tear it up. So that'll be later on. Now, do not post predictions yet. I will give instructions later. Basically, it'll just be open for everybody who's in the chat room. And I have removed the time restriction so everybody could play. So if you're a new subscriber, you'll be able to play as well. You don't have to wait the usual 20 minutes that we always have over here. And hey, if you subscribe tonight, your name will probably pop up on the screen. So, all right. Let's get into some news. Oh, we got some news. You know, let's talk about the unfortunate news first. Becky Lynch. For those that did not see Raw tonight, Becky Lynch suffered a separated shoulder at SummerSlam. The news came out this afternoon, and there is a lot of fear that she may require surgery. So when Becky Lynch told Bianca Belair, hold the fort, I'll see you later, Becky may be out for several months. Her status for Clash at the Castle is extremely doubtful. Hopefully surgery can be avoided, but as of right now, it does not look good. When she cut that promo and said, because I know some of you thought she might have separated it on a Spanish fly. Some of others out there thought that she might have separated it with the KOD outside the ring. If you remember the KOD outside the ring, that looked like, I thought, where she got it. Because if you go back and you look at the reaction and her delayed get a jump back in the ring. Now, sure, you know, you're going to execute moves anyway. QWE, welcome. You're going to execute moves anyway. I'm sure Becky Lynch probably would have told Bianca during the match, I think I hurt my shoulder bad. And because I know some people tonight, you know, a little ignorant criticism. Why did Bianca still do this move, still do this move, still this move? You know, knowing that Becky had a serious injury, you know, that's not, look, we're not in the ring. That's not how they operate. She wanted to go balls out no matter what, and she worked the entire match. No one in a million years ever thought that she separated her shoulder, but she did. So we wish Becky Lynch a speedy recovery. Now it's very interesting to see what's going on with the women's championship. Because on Raw tonight, you know, the faction of Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Shirai continues to make its presence 48 hours removed. I love it. And I know a lot of you out there are very, very happy for a Bayley return. Will all three of them end up with gold? I'm not so sure about that. But, you know, Io Shirai, now Io Sky, and Dakota Kai, you know, I'm telling you, I know it's a lot of sausage. But, you know. We already talked about it. Triple H and WWE are on the verge of announcing the women's tag team championship situation. NXT tomorrow are going to award the women's tag team championships to a new team. We will get into that preview later. And WWE, look, it's like what we said about SummerSlam. They were going to get SummerSlam, all the focus on that, no outside noise, get that out of the way. Now they get the NXT women's championships out of the way. Then it's the main roster women's championship. Did you see the reports coming out today? Oh, Sasha and Naomi are returning. I don't remember what website posted that. That is, once again, everyone, your biggest problem online. They all want to be first. They don't want to be right. I could start putting breaking news. I'm going to drop dead. And one day I'll be right. I could start saying, you know, people are very concerned about Ric Flair's health, that he may not have much time to live, that this was this year or never. And then if he drops, which we hope doesn't, you know, what does that make me a genius? No, these people just want to have their name cemented in the history. So they think people look back a year, 2 years, 5 years from now, oh yeah, they were the ones that broke it first. I'm going to follow them. I'm going to buy their Patreon. I'm going to join their membership. I'm going to buy their t-shirt. I'm going to buy Manscaped through them. Yeah, they came back. They're back. We'll talk about it later. But, man, how's about fucking verifying shit? You know, and it's just ridiculous. But, hey, if you remember what we said 3 weeks ago, you know, when Vince McMahon retired, you know, Sasha Banks, her relationship with Vince McMahon, you know, there's a saying, promises made, promises kept. And in the case of Vince and John Laurinaitis, promises made, promises not kept. And that's what caused them to leave. So, sausage, you know, with Triple H now running the helm, there's a new, you know, energy. There's hope that promises made will be promises kept. So what you're hearing now is people premature ejaculation. That's what it is. They want it's premature ejaculation. They're blowing their load, you know, before it's time. But the women's tag team championship situation will be addressed shortly. And remember the scenario we joked about over the weekend. Wouldn't it be something if WWE crowns new women's tag team champions just to have Sasha and Naomi show up shortly thereafter? And it's kind of like the Cena Punk thing that we talked about, that comparison, that analogy. Only time will tell. So, you know, very refreshing to see Bayley on Raw, to see Io Sky, Dakota Kai. Now, you know this is setting up a 6-woman tag team match next week. Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Bianca Belair. Understand something that we keep bringing up. You know, the more individuals are pushed, the less others are pushed. Now, in the case of Theory, we didn't have him on tonight. That was to sell what happened with SummerSlam. You'll probably see him on SmackDown. Not going to suddenly be de-pushed because SmackDown came and went. If they wanted the D-push theory, they would have had the briefcase cashed in. He would have lost it by now. He probably would have lost it 2 weeks ago, and that would have been the end of it. You know, and I want to say this too. And anybody that follows my shows, I don't need to prove it, but you know I am a big fan of Tommaso Ciampa. I am a big fan of Tommaso Ciampa. And we were very concerned about Tommaso Ciampa's future on that main roster. Just because there is a core tiny niche online, just because NXT fans are more loving of Ciampa than casual wrestling fans, you listen to the audience when Ciampa comes out. You know, people forget. This is not trashing Ciampa. I'm a huge fan, but I want to make a point. People forget that it was not too long ago when Miz was coming out with Theory. And they were working together for a decent amount of time. Go back and listen to the crowd reaction towards Theory. He was getting a lot of heat. You know, yes, carried over from the Vince stuff and everything else, but that guy triggers a reaction. That guy, in some cases, gets almost to the level, I wouldn't say nuclear heat, but the what shit that went on the last 2 weeks was amazing. And I don't even like the what chance anymore, but Theory generates a reaction. Look at Ciampa and listen to that audience. You hear next to nothing. Right now, that audience is indifferent with Ciampa. It's not Ciampa's fault. Up until now, his character on the main roster has been horrendous. Vince, Bruce, whoever you want to blame it on, totally fucked up Ciampa's beginning of his Raw career. They fucked up big time because he comes out, he attacks Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali is cutting vignettes on social media, mocking Miz, doesn't say a word about Ciampa. Ali's getting beat up week after week. Why is Ciampa coming out here? Why is Ciampa coming out here? No promos, no explanation, no mic time at all. Ciampa's promo tonight was spectacular. Bashing Miz, you go to follow a social media personality. You know, Ciampa, when given time, shows he can fucking talk. Ciampa is a great talent, but up until now, that crowd, the audience has been indifferent to Ciampa. That is the worst thing that you can have, indifference. When you have indifference, Jackson Ryker had indifference. You don't think that WWE at some point thought, oh my God, we could turn that guy into a monster heel. You know, if they would have done the Lacey Evans thing with Jackson Ryker, I know I brought it up before. You know, there are some wrestlers that trigger no reaction. That is the worst thing for a wrestler. You know, wrestlers, even if you see, like, look at Ali tonight. Ali climbed the top rope to try to hit a 450 splash on Miz. And if you go back and you watch it, when Miz is laid out and he looks and sees that Miz is laid out and he's by the corner. Now, anybody that follows Mustafa Ali's career, you know he's going to the top rope to hit a 450 or something amazing off the top rope. When he looked at the rope and realized, listen to the crowd reaction, almost nothing. So what does Mustafa Ali do? Go back and watch it. He starts struggling, climbing the ropes, showing pain and just soreness from all the beatdown in the match that's leading up to it. And he's struggling and he's climbing that rope and trying to get those fans to, like, get behind him, get energy. And then ultimately he jumps off and falls right into a Styles Clash. And on top of it, Styles does the Styles Clash onto Miz, who's laid out. Beautiful finish. Beautiful fucking finish. Never, I don't recall ever seeing that before. You know, I mean, little things like that, you're like, wow, oh, that's pretty cool. But indifference is the worst thing for a wrestler. Any company. So it was refreshing tonight to see. Well, we'll run down the matches quickly because we're not going to spend too much time here tonight. I like to try to get a little early night sleep. Oh, later on tonight, we will do the giveaway from the watch parties from Friday. Someone is going to win that autographed Roman Reigns photo, and someone else is going to win that autographed Brock Lesnar photo. And my God, that SummerSlam match. You know, I got something. We're allowed to show it. I just wanted to show you this. WWE got this footage, and they put it on social media, and they did release it so you could see it because it's not part of the, you know, the Peacock stream. But they had a camera behind the tractor. So we have tractor cam, everybody. It's only about 15 seconds. But I thought this was so fucking entertaining that we have tractor cam, and you could see in Brock Lesnar's vision what it looked like for him to lift up the ring. Here, enjoy this. Here you go. Yeah, that's... He's having a great time. That motherfucker was having a great time. I don't care how much he's getting paid. He's loving it. He's having a great time. He's like, this is fucking great. Country boy Brock Lesnar, I've been a Brock Lesnar fan since day one. Yes, when he left for football, it pissed me off, and the match with Goldberg was the drizzling shits. But overall, you know, actually, the only time that Brock Lesnar pissed me off, you remember when he was trying out for the Vikings and little kids were coming up to him and want autographs, and they're showing him WWE photos, and he's like, I'm not signing any WWE photos. You know, you don't do that to little kids. You know, but Brock Lesnar, I followed his career since day one. I did an autograph signing. I had the opportunity to meet him way back when, and this is my favorite version of Brock Lesnar. Not even close. Not even close. For everyone that got extremely irate when they announced one more match between those two guys, look at what we got Saturday night. Anybody complaining anymore? This is why, even though rematches might get a little overblown for some people, in others, it's not. It's not. Trust me, you could take two guys in AEW, and I guarantee you some diehard AEW fans would love to see two people go at it, two, three, four. What about a best of seven? What about a best of seven? People remember when they used to do best of seven. I mean, you don't do best of seven with all pay-per-views, but Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, man, that match this past Saturday, I don't know where that ranks. Actually, I'm curious for all of you out there. Which match, looking at, you know, where we are in 2022, which match do you weigh higher? Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell, or Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, SummerSlam? Very curious. You can write it in the chat room. You can write it in the comment section after. Very curious to see how you vote with that. So I got to be honest with you. Right now, boy, that's kind of rough. That's kind of tough, man. You know what? I'm going to wait a week to answer that, because we're only 48 hours off of SummerSlam. We're still riding that high. So I'll wait a week, and I'll tell you next week. Right now, I kind of lean towards Brock versus Roman. Not saying that Cody didn't put on, you know, an amazing performance. You know, just incredible. And Seth Rollins, too. By the way, Seth Rollins tonight, you know, before we start getting into match results, I got to say something about Montez Ford. And I'm very curious. This is not a ploy to try to get you to comment. You know, I really mean this when I say this. I get weird vibes online when I see people that are overly protecting Montez Ford. And I'll tell you what I mean. You have some wrestlers on TV who will lose match after match after match. Now, look, if they're still, you know, up and coming and better suited for NXT or AEW Dark, okay, that's one thing. Well, when you're talking about people who arguably could headline a pay-per-view, who absolutely is ready for a championship, and they keep losing and losing and losing. And what really is starting to, like, bother me, and if you think that I'm exaggerating, go on Twitter after my show is over and just type a variation of this phrase, and you will see hundreds, if not thousands, of posts over the last month You know what they say? Montez is going to be a huge star. Montez Ford is going to be a huge star. And look, they debuted on the main roster 2019. It's almost 3 years already. You look at where Bianca Belair is now from where she debuted on the main roster. You look at others, where they are now compared to when they debuted at the main. Did they take 3 years for Asuka? Did they take 3 years for Bianca? Did they take 3 years for others? So when you see Montez Ford and the Street Profits at the peak of their goddamn game, and they lose over and over and over, and it just feels like, you know, something's not aligned here. And look, it's one thing to say, man, I love the Usos. The Usos are the, you know, top tag team, but you know what, man? You know, don't have them feud with the Street Profits if the Profits are going to lose, because all it's doing is damage to that team right now. You know, the Street Profits will recover. But what I see is this overprotective group of people out there that after 3 years, them having one of the top tag team matches, if arguably top three of 2022 amongst tag team wrestling, they had an unbelievable match. Montez Ford has upped his game. Angelo Dawkins has goddamn upped his game like no other. And after all of this, Montez Ford is going to be a future star? This ain't a fucking rookie anymore. This is not someone like Bron Breakker or something like this. This is a guy that is in position that arguably is at the peak of him as a tag team wrestler. And every time they lose, you don't hear this. You know, why do you keep getting jobbed out? No, Montez Ford will be a future star. Like, it's okay to have creative keep doing this over and over and over again. Remember Bizarro Land when they feuded with RK-Bro and their music was hitting, you know, and they weren't coming out just to troll them, and some of the way they were cutting the promos, it sounded like they were turning heel. It's all over the place. Stop overprotecting this guy. This guy is a star. Those two guys should be tag champs right now. And I just feel that WWE has given them a few too many losses. Yes, I do believe losses matter, especially when it's a team that is being positioned and is backing it up and still finding it short. A lot of people think that Angelo Dawkins is going to turn on Montez Ford. You don't take the power couple, Bianca Belair and Montez Ford, and have Montez Ford be a chicken shit heel on TV. A lot of people think that Angelo Dawkins ultimately will be the one to turn on Montez Ford. And then when that happens, you know, with all due respect, we got to be a little bit concerned for Montez Ford. Do I think it's going to be a Tucker situation? No, I don't think so. I am a huge fan of Angelo Dawkins, but you got to look at it in the eyes of WWE. If you feel that WWE Creative sees nothing but money for Montez Ford, and they see a good few, good storyline, you know, something for Angelo Dawkins, and then what happens? That guy's going to corner the IC title, US title. He's going to form a tag team with someone else. Suddenly he's going to overtake a whole bunch of other people. I don't feel that. I don't feel that. So we'll see. We'll see. All right. Let's run down Raw a little bit. So Raw tonight from Houston, and a little sausage as well. Booker T. Booker T made a guest appearance on Raw tonight doing commentary during the AJ Styles Ciampa match. And I love Booker T's old catchphrase, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I love shit like that. But Booker T making a cameo for one match tonight is the start of a little bit of a Triple H tweak that you will see on TV. It's not going to happen every single week, but you are going to see nostalgia on your TV screen. You know, will we have a Legends Night again? Possibly. But you're going to see more and more, you know, as the months go on, you're going to see some legends make a guest cameo here and there. Now we got Jeff Jarrett doing a little bit. You have Booker T making it. Because, look, WWE's not stupid. They see the nostalgia in what happens with AEW sometimes. Now, obviously, they're not going to get Sting, you know, and WWE is also going to be extremely cautious with older wrestlers, you know, in the ring. But they see that nostalgia is still valuable, appreciated. My God, the stuff with Ric Flair last night, no matter how you feel about what went down, it drew, and it drew big. So there is still a place for nostalgia. I don't know how people are going to feel about that, but look, if you get someone do guest commentator for a match, backstage segment, maybe they do a little bit here, maybe we see a little bit on NXT. We had Ted DiBiase not too long ago with the Cameron Grimes stuff. You're going to see more appearances by legends as we go along. Won't be every week, but you'll see it. Kevin Nash, yeah, I could see Kevin Nash making an appearance. Sure. Sure, why not? I mean, you know, I see some of the comments online. I mean, I don't think he's going to be working any creative stuff, but, you know, there is room for legends still. So we had Raw tonight, and we opened up with Becky Lynch, arm in a sling. That would become a factor a little bit later on to Writer Off TV. Not the crazy getup tonight. No sunglasses, no crazy outfits, because Becky Lynch, when she came out, cut, let's be honest, she cut a little bit of a John Cena promo. At SummerSlam, I found myself. It's not the clothes. It's not the validation. It's the determination. I did it for the women in the back. I did it for the women that bust their ass. It's the validation. Felt like a John Cena promo. I'm a big Becky Lynch fan. She is one of the most popular prizes when we do giveaways. Everybody loves to take part in those giveaways. Tonight, it felt like a little bit of a John Cena promo. You know, still, you know, going back a little bit to the man. And I absolutely love this picture somebody posted today. Yes, she is definitely the man. She wants Bianca to get her ass out there because she wants to give props to the woman who has brought the B-E-S-T out of Becky Lynch. So Bianca Belair comes out and showing a little bit of respect for each other. And Bianca, you know, obviously scripted line. It was all over social media, literally 5 seconds, you know, after she said it. Bianca says to Becky, not only have you defined the man, you are the man. And we get another hug, and then Becky, because of her shoulder, hold it down, I'll see you soon. No music, she walks off, Bianca is still in the ring, she starts cutting a promo, then we see the cameras in the back. Bayley, Io Sky, Dakota Kai, beating the crap out of Becky Lynch, hitting her brace with the chair, putting her arm in the chair, and here comes Bianca, running in her heels, trying to come to the aid of Becky, and they get out of Dodge. Great way to open up the show. You know, we get the injury storyline, which will you'll see an announcement on WWE tomorrow that due to the actions of Bayley, Sky, and Kai, that you know, maybe Becky Lynch requires surgery on her shoulder, this and that. So we hope she don't need surgery, but you know, the early word is it might be inevitable. So she is attacked. Now, something else that I thought was great, man. They did a video package hyping up the United States Championship. It was narrated by JBL. And we see little screenshots of champions from yesteryear, from Dusty Rhodes, even Miz and others. And to give that feeling of that championship having more value, WWE will be doing that for the Intercontinental Championship as well. So you're going to see a lot more prestige put back, the appearance of prestige in the eyes of the fans. Now, not to jump ahead, we had 2 3-way dances tonight, as you could see on the screen. We had Dolph Ziggler versus Ciampa versus Chad Gable. The winner of that match would later on face the winner of Mustafa Ali versus AJ Styles versus The Miz. And as we already discussed, the match with Styles, Ali and Miz, Styles wins it with a beautiful Styles Clash on Ali, onto Miz, and excellent match. Crowd loved it. On the opposite side, Ciampa getting the victory over Chad Gable and Dolph Ziggler. I think a lot of people thought we were going to get Dolph Ziggler versus AJ Styles. Did not happen. We had Ciampa. Now, everybody knows how much Triple H loves Ciampa. And Ciampa staying in WWE is quite a bit due to his relationship with Triple H. Now, when we talked about Ciampa earlier, one thing I want to add to it, and I want everybody to remember this, you know, Triple H is not going to touch everything and it's going to turn into gold. You're going to see people pushed a little bit that haven't been pushed before. But you're also going to see some other people that are not going to be pushed. And some of the things you see are going to feel like stuff we've seen before. If you look at the format of tonight, you know, quite a bit of it was a similar format of what we see on WWE television every week. Triple H is not an outsider. It's not like Triple H has been working for a different company and then just came in. You know, everybody, not everybody, but some of the noise online, oh, Triple H has got to do with for WWE programming what he did for NXT. And what, draw 750? You know, you can't just paint a broad brush like that. You have to see what the WWE Universe is into. The WWE Universe is into fucking R-Truth with some of his comedic shit. They are into some wrestlers that are not all that spectacular in the ring. And you always got to weigh that into account. You can't simply start going, and look, I'm a big fan of Meltzer. I respect him. I subscribe to his newsletter. But you're not going to suddenly base what you see on TV based on a Meltzer scale, based on who can wrestle. Because if Alexa Bliss comes out of this fighting for the Raw Women's Championship, I think a lot of people are going to be a little bit annoyed. But Triple H may cover that up by having Io Sky versus Asuka. Now, is that a good trade-off? A lot of people right now, Asuka deserves that title shot. Asuka deserves that title shot. Asuka did a, or even Io Sky deserves that title shot. Well, what happens if they do it for Alexa Bliss? So how do you please everybody? We get Sky versus Asuka. You know, we may get Bayley versus Asuka. I don't think Bayley is 100% yet. I think you will see her get physical a little bit here and there, and she may be involved in the tag match, but they're going to take baby steps with Bayley. She's ready to return, but they're going to gradually ease her back in. So, you know, you got to take it slow with some of the stars. But, you know, what we saw tonight, nice step forward with those women. So, getting back to Ciampa, just because he's got a close relationship with Triple H, just because there's a core NXT audience that loves Ciampa, I'm a big fan of Ciampa as well, do not think simply because he gets a title shot next week on Raw, it does not mean that a month from now, Ciampa is still going to be pushed to the moon. You know, it's great. He got the win tonight. I'm happy. Him versus Lashley, I think, is going to be a lot better than people expect. What happens a month from now? What happens a month from now? So just because Ciampa got this rub, you know, let's see if it's long term. Let's see if this is, you know, building his foundation up. You know, you can put, you know, a lot of things on the outside of a building and make it all look pretty in a very short amount of time. But if you don't take time to build that foundation, set something in stone, and you could jolt it a little bit, but you got to remember that foundation. If they don't focus on that foundation for Ciampa, a month or two from now, he'll end up like Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali came back after protesting for so long. And I don't know what Vince McMahon promised Mustafa Ali. We're not there. We don't hang out with these wrestlers. We don't hang out with Sasha or Naomi or Ali, but I get the vibe that what was promised to Ali is not what he was given. I don't think so. So now, does Triple H somehow try to figure out some way to repair what Vince McMahon fucked up since Ali has returned. One idea that I said last week is I think Mustafa Ali would be spectacular in NXT right now. Put him on NXT. Bring Cedric Alexander there. Fuck, bring Shelton over there. I think Ali in NXT going up some of the stars of tomorrow, I'd be fine with him with a North American Championship run. I think that would be a way to repair him. Apollo Crews, I'm not feeling it. Not feeling it so far. My favorite moments of Apollo Crews in NXT is when he's in a diner. So getting back to Raw, Ciampa wins his three-way. AJ wins his. And later on, Ciampa defeats AJ Styles to become the number one contender against Bobby Lashley. And that match will happen next week. It'll happen next week. Now, Miz was at ringside, and Miz would play a factor. Towards the end of the match, Miz was by the barricades near the announcer's desk. AJ Styles got tangled up over there, and Miz grabbing his leg. We thought that AJ Styles would ultimately get counted out. He got back in the ring at the count of eight, but was greeted by a high knee from Ciampa, and then the fairy tale ending, and Ciampa defeats AJ Styles. So for a core group of fans out there, they loved it. For a majority of other fans out there, they want AJ Styles to get the title shot. That's why, like I say, you can't please everybody all the time. But AJ Styles is not damaged because of this. You look at the bigger picture. We got to see what happens with Logan Paul. You know, Logan Paul, you know, got, you know, won me over, won a lot of you over. You know, some others out there still are not into the guy, but, you know, I went back and watched his match again, and, you know, I'm amazed on how much, not only what he picked up, but how smooth he is and how he counters and the timing. The timing, I think, is everything. That's why you see others, no disrespect to Dana Brooke or Nia Jax and others, but if you can't get your timing down pat, you could execute every match you want. You know, look, I could swing a bat with force like no other. I could swing a bat that'll behead you if I hit you that hard. That doesn't mean I could hit the ball. You know, the ball might be past me. It might already be in a catcher's mitt. It might even be thrown back to the pitcher and I didn't even swing yet. So anybody could swing. But if you don't have the timing and you don't hit the ball, you'll never get it. And some people, you never get that timing. Logan Paul, his timing is incredible for someone who just picked it up, you know. So good for him. Good for him. Seth Rollins cutting a promo, making fun of Riddle. Wants Roman Reigns. Little teaser. Little buzz. Little crowd reaction. Little taste. Little appetizer. Seth Rollins wants Roman Reigns. But immediately subject changed. Street Profits come out. That's because they're buddies with Riddle. They don't like what Seth Rollins did. Seth Rollins, making fun of the Street Profits and all their losses, even says maybe they should split up. And the Street Profits want Seth Rollins tonight, but it's only Rollins. He has no opponent. So rocks, paper, scissors, we get Montez Ford. And he's the one that takes on Seth Rollins tonight. They had a spectacular match. In the end, curb stomp, loss for Montez Ford. Seth Rollins gets the win. Some names noticeably not on Raw tonight. You look at Kevin Owens. You look at Ezekiel. You look at a few others. You know, I expect some of them to be back on TV next week. But remember, you know, when you see some others, you know, I know Kevin Owens has been out with injury. We had two Kevin Owens promos on SummerSlam. We had two promos during SummerSlam. So, you know, they want to keep his name out there. But the question is, where do you fit him in right now? Ezekiel wrestled on main event today. He lost to Omos. Omos wrestled on main event. So, Psycho, that answers your question about Omos. Backstage promo from Sky, Kai, and Bayley. You know, what they did is not about Becky Lynch. It's not about Bianca Belair either. It's about us. So they are out for themselves. And that would be the focal point tonight. You know, they attacked Becky Lynch. We have another moment where we had Alexa Bliss versus Asuka. And officially, Alexa Bliss won by disqualification. Actually, excuse me. Asuka defeated Alexa Bliss by disqualification because during that match, here comes Dakota Kai and Io Sky, and they start attacking Asuka. They then focused on Alexa Bliss. So the fact that they attacked Asuka first, you throw the match out, Asuka wins by DQ. WWE will probably say it went to a no contest, but technically it was a DQ win. And Io Sky teases that she's going to do a top rope move with a chair to seriously injure Alexa Bliss, Asuka, or maybe both. And here comes Bianca Belair. She chases them off. She gets on the mic. She wants one of them tonight. And she gets Io Sky. And you knew that that match would end up in a no contest or a DQ, because as soon as you saw that the women were allowed to stay at ringside, you knew fuckery was coming. Difference is, people don't mind the fuckery if it's the wrestlers that they like on TV. So later on, we have Bianca Belair versus Io Sky, and the match was spectacular. But, you know, we had teases of Bayley and Dakota Kai getting involved. This leads to Asuka and Alexa Bliss coming out. And then the referee, who is doing nothing about all four women at ringside, they ultimately get in the ring. They start beating up each other. Referee just calls no contest. Then we had a big pull apart with agents and others. And this is obviously to set up the six-woman tag for next week. Everybody seemed to be into it. And like I said, you know, I'm it's refreshing. You know, the scenario is the same, but the ingredients are a little bit different. So, Edge makes his return. On this day, everyone, we see clearly the rated R superstar is back. And what the fuck happened with that announcer? I wasn't paying attention. I heard the music and I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, I'm fine with the old music coming back. You know, you don't try to fix what's not broken. Everybody loves that music. And he comes out and I hear the announcer go, rated R, shoot. It's not, I thought he stepped on a nail. I was like, what the fuck was that? It was pretty funny, but he comes out and he wants more of Judgment Day. And Edge would be a factor with the main event tonight after the bell. But nice to see Edge. Look, the perfect promo beginning. The perfect beginning to his promo tonight. Apologize to the fans for being an asshole the past couple of months. We didn't get TV 14 tonight. Actually, no, I take that back. Zylot Themes, shout out to you, my brother. He brought it up. He's like, look, everybody, we got TV 14 tonight. Yes, TV 14. Unfortunately, it was for commercials for other shows. But have no fear, everyone. Tonight was PG, and tonight was an exclamation point of what I've been saying for years. Just because something is TV PG doesn't mean it can't be entertaining. I grew up with Roddy Piper and others as a kid, and a lot of that shit on TV was, I don't think any of it was TV 14, and it was fine. And now it's not even TV 14, and we had a great episode of Raw tonight. Now, Edge did say the word asshole, but he didn't say it enough times where you got to go TV 14, but you use a couple of more expletives. Will we get man on women violence next week? Stay tuned for the main, when we talk about the main event. Could having Rhea Ripley in the match with the men, could that trigger the TV 14? It is possible. It is possible. It's funny. Remember when Retribution showed up on SmackDown that one night? A lot of people thought they rated a TV 14 because Braun Strowman almost chokeslammed Alexa Bliss. Now, that TV 14 was because of the Retribution storyline and the appearance that it was like an Antifa-type group. So Edge is back, rated R superstar. he's coming for revenge from Judgment Day. The Mysterios cutting a promo in the back because they're getting a title shot tonight against the Usos. That they're now saying that Judgment Day is in their rearview mirror. Okay? And they're going to now focus on the Usos tonight. So, we get that main event because we already discussed all the other matches. The Usos versus the Mysterios. I think Dominic Mysterio, and this might sound like duh, but I think a lot of us really got to start bringing this out more. Dominic Mysterio, I don't think, is cut out to be a full-blown luchador for his whole career. I think Dominic Mysterio, if he does turn heel, he's got to stop with most of the luchador stuff. I don't know if it's because his body, if it's, you know, because he's taller. I mean, and I don't buy that because you had La Parca and others that were much taller that could do crazy shit. I think Dominic Mysterio just doesn't have the flexibility that a lot of luchadors have. Maybe he doesn't work on his flexibility as much. It feels like he's very stiff. Even when you see him do the frog splash, if you have enough height on your pool, you probably could do the frog splash in your pool better than Dominic could do it in the ring. I think Dominic just, he looks stiff. He looks like he's got like a lot of like arthritis. You know, it looks like his bones have a little bit of crazy glue in it. He's just a little too stiff. And I don't mean stiff as, you know, he just looks stiff. I think Dominic, they have to change his repertoire. It was a decent match. The Usos ultimately get the win. Rey is laid out on the outside. And Dominic ends up eating the one and done. And the Usos retain. But after the match was over, continuing the beat down to the Mysterios, here comes Edge's music. Edge cleans house. And he is about to give Finn Balor a spear to close out Raw. Rhea Ripley pulls Finn Balor out of the way. Edge spears Dominic. Now, it's funny because you could spear someone in a match and get a two count. Dominic tonight, it looked like he had to be brought out on a stretcher. And it was hilarious because they didn't even have real trainers or, you know, trainers or people in the back. That they took an indie woman, I believe, that wrestled on AEW Elevation before. And you look at her in the ring and she's, you could almost put, read her lips. She's almost like with Ray. He's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I'm a wrestler. I'm not a trainer. And they're treating Dominic and she's holding his hand like he's about to die. Please stay with me. And she's just looking around like she, it was awful. Why would you go cheap on that? You know, you could add any fuck in the back that's maybe like 40, 50 years old. To go to, she looked like Aaliyah. She actually looked like Aaliyah in the ring. She's holding Dominic's hand. Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't go. Ray, what do I do? I don't know what to do. So Edge spears Dominic by mistake. Then he runs off into the rafters, you know, and they just disappear into the sunset. And here's Ray in the ring. And he's treating Dominic, and Dominic is in severe pain. Now, you know next week Dominic is going to be pissed off at Edge. Edge is going to say it was a mistake. And then Rey Mysterio is going to probably tell Dominic, ah, look, it was a mistake. Things happen in wrestling. Olale, arriba la raza. And then ultimately Dominic will probably just get fed up with it. And he's like, you know what, fuck you. You know, it's not going to go down like that. I think we probably have to go TVMA, not even TV14. But that's probably where they're going to go with this. Apology not accepted. Olale. So that's pretty much our episode of Raw tonight. So very good episode. I enjoyed it tremendously. Oh, shit. You know what? Let's do that contest. All right, here. 2-minute warning, everyone. For everyone out there who is live, if you want to be in on this contest to win a Vince McMahon signed photo, don't do it yet. Get your ass in the chat room. And you could type it. Don't hit enter yet. Start thinking what you predict the Raw rating will be. Now, when I watch the replay tomorrow after the rating comes out, if you delete whatever you write, then unfortunately you're no longer in the contest. If you post more than one rating, I go with your first entry. So no reason to cheat. And I would get your entry in as quickly as possible. Because if you're thinking 2,062,000, I'm just throwing a random number out there. If you're thinking 2,062,000, somebody may write that before you. Now, you want to be a scumbag. You wait a couple of seconds and you do like the Price is Right. You go 2,062,002. It's like an eBay auction. Right before it closes, 10 seconds before the auction closes, you think that the highest bid is like $9. So you put $9.04, and then you look. I don't think they show you the bids anymore. I used to laugh my ass off 20 years ago when I would win auctions by 2 cents, and I swear on my mother I'll never do a show again. I used to get messages from people on eBay. You motherfucker. You cheated me out of this by 3 cents. I will fucking kill you, you prick bastard. And I'm like, na-na-na-na-na-na. All right, so get ready. Don't do it yet. 2-3 minute warning. Omos over Ezekiel on main event. And T-Bar over Shelton Benjamin on main event. SmackDown this past Friday did 2,193,000 viewers. Excellent. Ring of Rampage, unfortunately, continues to tank. Normal time slot, 375,000. Their demographic is getting destroyed. And I don't follow demos. I look at overall viewers because all I know is that if I have 1 million people watching my show, that's 1 million possible people that might buy something. If I only have 375,000, ooh, but the demo, 44,000, we're 18 to 49. Well, guess what? I'd rather have a lower demo and have 500,000 people in 18 to 49 than to have a high demo and only 12,000 in that demo. How the fuck do these people operate? 375, everyone. Ring of Rampage is tanking. And the thing that I say about it, and I watch Rampage every week. And sometimes I say that Rampage is the most fun crammed hour if you just want some fun wrestling, you know, but the problem is there's no must-see TV about it. There's no, I got to watch it live. That's why you have advertisers. That's why it's on TNT. That's why it's on a Friday night. You think they're happy with 375,000 viewers? Someone out there will tell you that they are, because TNT is not going to do a press release and say these ratings suck. They're not going to do that. But the thing is, Ring of Honor, with all due respect, it has generated some of the greatest wrestlers in our generation. They have set the table. They have given them the platform to become stars, and then they go other places and become bigger and greater. That's fine. But Ring of Honor, in its history, has never generated 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 fans unless it's a WrestleMania weekend. It never generated ratings leading into Impact, going up against Impact, going up after Impact. The ratings always tanked. And now you think I give a fuck that Matt Sydal was the trainer for Lee Moriarty? I know they have a hard on for Lee Moriarty, and it's nothing personal. I don't give a shit if he's black, white, gray. I don't care. But the problem is nobody casual wrestling give a fuck. Oh, the teacher versus the student. I don't care if he was his father from a brother from another mother. I don't care if he donated his heart to Lee Moriarty. I don't give a shit. But it's the teacher versus the student. And then Wheeler Yuta, because they have this erotic fascination that Wheeler Yuta is going to be this huge future star. And then we're watching Rampage, and the tease is, Jericho, I'm going to fight you Wednesday. And you put your title shot on the line against Moxley. And if I beat you, then I get the title shot against Jon Moxley. The fuck wants to see Jon Moxley versus Wheeler Yuta? What, 67,000 people? It's nothing personal against Wheeler Yuta. I don't give a shit if the place is called Quake by the Lake, Shit by the Pit, Pee in the Sea. They're giving us Ring of Rampage and they're putting out stuff out there that a very tiny niche audience likes. And a majority of fans are like, I'm not fucking watching this live on a Friday night. So 375, that is horrendous. And it's going to continue to tank as long as Tony Khan puts out there what he loves and what he thinks we should love. And you look at those demos going down and down and down. What audience are they attracting? they're attracting that very, very tiny part of social media that is extremely fucking loud. And that's it. There's no growth. So you're pushing Ring of Honor at the expense of AEW. So it's Ring of Rampage. All right. You ready? What I will do is I am typing something. Don't type your ratings yet. I am going to type in the chat room the word go. And then when I put it, all you have to do is just post what you think Raw's rating will be. We'll give everybody about 60 seconds. While you do that, I will give a little plug to Manscaped because they contacted yours truly, DT. We want you back. We want to get all your viewers. We want them to trim those pubic hairs, groom themselves. The fall is coming. You know, you're going to be home more. And, you know, they want a cleaner, you know, Don Tony La Nostra Familia. You know, so get ready, everybody. On your mark, get set, go. This week's episode of the Don Tony Show is brought to you by Manscaped. Let's throw it on the screen. The Ultra Smooth Package is back. You remember this package? I have it. Unfortunately, I can't show you how good it works for yours truly. But right now, if you go to manscaped.com, pick up the Ultra Smooth Package. You get the same items as before, and it's very simple. You get the crop shaver razor. You get the crop exfoliator that removes dead skin. You know, yes, you do have some crappy old skin down there. You know, I know it's covered by fur, but you do have to exfoliate because you want clean pores, especially when you're shaving. And you have the crop gel. And if you go on Manscaped, I always recommend get the Lawnmower 4.0. I know for non-regular viewers out there or listeners or maybe younger people out there, they're like, this motherfucker is talking about pubic hair. Yes, that's what Manscaped is all about. It is Manscaped. It's not womanscaped, but you can buy stuff there if you want. But this is designed for men. Any of you out there, you have women that shave their arms. Oh, it's nice. Go try to use the women's shaver on your face. And let's see what happens. It'll be a bad cartoon because our stubbles are much, much thicker than a lot of women's hair. But if you go to Manscaped right now and you pick up the Ultra Smooth Package, if you type in the promo code, don't trip. I thought that was Don T. Trip. I don't know who came up with don't trip. All one word, don't trip. Maybe it's Don T. Trip. But if you type in the promo code, don't trip, especially if you're shaving your nuts, do not trip, you will get not only free shipping, you'll get 20% off your order. And I also hear that promo code works on anything in the store. So you go there, pick up the Ultra Smooth Package. You get the lawnmower. You trim all that excess bush. You know, I saw over the weekend, you saw what happened with Bill Bahati and Sean Ross Sapp. Now, I'm not going to get into the specifics of all of that, but the one thing I always noticed about Bill Bahati is he's got this giant amount of hair. Now, some of you out there, I'm not trying to crack jokes on Bill Bahati, but I guarantee you some of you out there, down there probably looks like Bill Bahati up there. So you don't want to use a regular hand razor for that. You want to get the fucking lawnmower. Shave down there, get all that extra shit out, go take a shower. You rub some exfoliator out there, it opens up the pores, then you put the gel. You ever put nice menthol gel on your face? Ah, feels good. You rub some of the crop gel down there, and then get your razor, and then you go as thin as you want to. I know some people got triggered last time when I said, if you want to go infant, you can. You could shave everything, or you could get the launching pad if that's what you're into, or you just make it nice and neat, because you never know. When I was a kid, my mom used to say to me, Anthony, always wear clean underwear, because you never know what can happen. You might get hurt, you might break your foot, you might have to go to the hospital, and they may tell you to take your pants off. You might go to the church, and they might tell you to take your pants off too. But my mom used to always say to me, wear clean underwear, because you never know what can happen. So you want to have it clean down there, because you never know. You might score. And then what are you going to do? All right. That's my Manscaped plug for tonight. Promo code don't trip. All right, contest over. Good luck. Good luck. Oh, Mike from New York said Denise got married. She's on a honeymoon. Denise Salcedo. I don't know if she'll ever like hear this or anything. Maybe some of you want to relay the message, but congratulations. Congratulations. Love is in the air. Good for her. Good for her. I don't know her personally. And, you know, way back when, I don't know, I was just not into like a lot of their content over there. But now I'm a fan. Now they do. I see. I mean, they work extremely hard. She comes off as a really, really genuinely nice person. So good for her. Good for her. Sev is asking me my thoughts on JD from New York. He is a friend, and I love his work. I know we disagree on a lot of topics, and in the near future, I will be asking him to do a Forbidden Door episode with yours truly. So, you know, not everybody is for JD, and JD is not for everybody, and I'm not for everybody either. So, you know, everybody is different, but he works his fucking ass off. He works his ass off. You got to commend that. Never tries to take shortcuts. By the way, everyone, we should have mentioned this earlier, but happy August 1st day. I know that looks kind of off-centered, but yeah, good, good. Happy August 1st day, everyone. It is 9 years ago today. 9 years, everyone. 9 years. Tito Ortiz! What is Tito Ortiz doing here? Oh, my God. I chopped the video from that night down. I butchered it so bad that I won't have any copyright issues here. But I went back and I looked at that night of August 1st. And for any of you out there, let me paint the picture. 9 years ago at this time, I'm feuding big time with Bully Ray. I'm trashing TNA because I just thought it was a hot mess. I was calling the aces and eights the aces and 0.8s because that's what their ratings were. And I was really complaining. And look, I was very immature as well. I'm going to make that clear. I was very immature at that time. And it got to the point where Bully Ray said, why don't you come down to Florida? Confront me in the middle of the ring. You know, you think you're this indie rest manager and stuff like that. You think you're this hot, you know, come down. Bring your co-host with you as well. Confront me in the middle of the ring. Now, I'm not stupid. I mean, I'm not going to use the P word, you know, that rhymes with Moloch, but I'm not an idiot. Why the fuck would I do that? You know, so I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And meanwhile, I'm sending him DMs. I'm like, look, I don't expect you to criticize TNA. You work for them. You get paid. I mean, I understand why you praise them. I said, but this is a hot mess. And then August 1st came. And we had all these warnings on social media, on YouTube. I'm not Batista. Warning, warning. August 1st, warning, warning, warning. Everybody's like, what the fuck is this August 1st warning? They even had the hashtag August 1 warning. So, by the way, now everything is cool in the gang with Bully Ray. There's no problems. I have apologized many times over the years. I'm sure you didn't see any of them. But I am a big fan of his work. A Hall of Famer, and I don't agree with everything he says on Busted Open, but I am a fan. And I admit that I was extremely immature back then. But this shit happened. Now, we can't show everything, but right now you got Kurt Angle in the ring, and he is feuding with the Aces 0.8s. You got, what is that, Quentin Jackson? Wasn't he Mr. T in that music video with John Cena? So you have the Main Event Mafia in the ring. You got Samoa Joe with no tribal cock but wearing a suit. He's cutting his promos, and they're feuding with the Aces of 0.8s. And with all due respect, I look back at the Aces of 0.8s, and I don't know what the fuck it is, but I have this weird fascination with Wes Briscoe. I don't know, just something about Wes Briscoe that I look at him, and I'm like, there's just something mesmerizing about him. I don't know if it's his hair. I don't know if it's just his fucking awful, you know, dark tan that you just hope he doesn't have skin cancer at this point. Or maybe it's just those lips. There's something about Wes Briscoe that it's just like, it's almost like a car accident. You can't turn your head away. You just got to peek. But you got, and you're looking at this, and they're feuding. And then they're like, hey, what the fuck is going on? And they're going back and forth. And meanwhile, tonight, August 1st, 2013, we got warning, August 1st warning. So they're going back and forth. Yeah, all right, what the fuck's going on? Yeah, there ain't nothing going on. All right, so now they're like looking at each other. All right, yeah, we're not like actually saying anything, and we'll just hit the ring and we just start brawling. So they start having a brawl. But meanwhile, warning, August 1st, warning, who the fuck's going to come out? So they're brawling. They chase them out of the ring. All right. This is heavily edited, by the way, so we don't have to worry. So they're out of the ring. You got Sting there, Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle. And I don't even fucking care who else was in there. And then the lights go out. Now, up until now, there's been no audio. I cut the audio out. But if any of you out there that never saw August 1, 2013, when I used to have my wrestling theme music station online back 20 years ago, Tombstone Radio, I used to stream wrestling theme music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And back then, there were wrestling themes that were never released that people would record live at the shows. And then they would try to edit out the crowd noise, and we would go on message boards, and it'd be like, oh my God, Evolution, first theme. And because it was never released, you got a version of somebody that just had an audio recorder that's recording it live in the crowd. Or they would record it off of TV and try to cut out the commentary. When this aired, his theme song was so crisp and clear. You have to look at the crowd also. This is no joke. Listen to the non-response about Tito Ortiz. This was the gigantic August 1st warning. Watch this. You're going to hear the music. Look, there you go. Let's see it. All right, give us the music. Don't tell me I couldn't have cut out all of them. Here it goes.
August 1 warning. Identity revealed.
Look at the crowd. Not one fucking person is like, they're not even like, no reaction at all. And when you edit it, it's even funnier because of all the flashing back and forth. All you see is Tito Ortiz, this goof like this. Look at this. This is
horrendous. As the MMA legend, Tito Ortiz.
Look. They're just back and forth. He's scratching his head. I got dandruff. Look, nobody's reacting. Nobody. They're just looking at each other. They're back and forth. Look, Rampage is like, and Samoa Joe's like acting like he's holding him back. D'Lo Brown's like, what the fuck is going on? This crowd is not reacting. He's scratching his head again. He's got dandruff. The crowd, no reaction. The theme music was perfect. The fucking theme music was perfect. Warning. August 1 warning. One of the biggest flops. And after that aired, I remember DM and Bully Ray, and I'm like, this is what the big surprise was. Look at your crowd. Look at the non-reaction. Indifference. In fucking difference that we said earlier is the worst thing that you can have for anybody in wrestling. This motherfucker folded his arms for 5 minutes and there was no reaction whatsoever. One of the biggest flops because TNA thought that wrestling fans wanted this MMA crossover and Spike TV wanted it and they thought that this was going to be beneficial. And just because they think it or other people think it doesn't mean that the mainstream majority of wrestling fans, and it just went over like a wet fart. Yeah, it did sound like porn music a little bit. It did sound like porn music, but I wanted to shout out everybody for the August 1 warning. We got about 20 minutes left. We're going to run 90 minutes tonight. We're at an hour and 10 minutes. If you allow me for 1 second, want to express my condolences to the passing of Black Jack Brown. David Herman Brown, man, I got his age wrong yesterday. I said he was almost 80. He was 65. I was close. You know, I'll be honest with you. I was friends with Black Jack Brown for about 15 years. When I met Black Jack Brown in the early 2000s, I thought that motherfucker was in his mid-50s already. I thought he was like 55 years old. Maybe pushing 60. I had no idea that Black Jack Brown at that time was in his early 40s. I mean, I just, you know what I think it was? Because I used to see him as a photographer for the New York wrestling shows. years and years before. I didn't know who he was. All I know is he was always at ringside and he was taking pictures. If you saw the tributes that poured in for Black Jack Brown from the Northeast wrestling community, from Taz and Bully Ray and others, they all talked about his hotline and his being a journalist. My early remembrance of Black Jack Brown is a photographer. He came down to XPW. He rode the fucking bus trip. He was on one of my bus trips and hung out with all of the fans on the bus. Black Jack Brown, so you all know, is one of the reasons why I am here. No joke. And anybody who goes back with me many years will vouch for me with this. When I was doing the Minority Report back in 2004, 2003, 2004, it was first it was the Blackhearts, myself, Mad Zombie Brian Damage, and Timmy Arson, you knew as the ECW Zombie, God rest his soul. Then I started doing stuff with the Minority Report. It was myself, Joey 924, Black Moses, Dave the Genetic Freak, Kevin Castle came aboard a little bit later. And at that time, Black Jack Brown, because I still had my hotline and it was the number one hotline in the nation, Black Jack Brown was trying to get me to do a 900 number with him and King Jordan. King Jordan died a few years ago as well. And at that time, I have old Minority Report episodes, you know, where, you know, I was at a crossroads. Do I continue doing what I was doing or do I go the 900 number route? And it was very, very tempting. The amount of money that was made on the 900 numbers in the 90s to the early 2000s, mid 2000s is crazy. I will never get into the specifics, but thousands and thousands of dollars. I pussied out. Even though I was doing great with my hotline, I pussied out because I didn't have the connections that he had and others had. I had two or three, and that was it. And he said to me, he's like, Anthony, don't worry about it. I'm there with you. I'll walk you right through it. It's not live, so we pre-record everything. And I was close of going the 900 number out, but I pussied out, and I then used that as a selling point on my shows that, you know, I never would charge anything on my hotlines. I always bragged that it was free, and I never took that opportunity, and I regret it to this day. I didn't want anyone to feel that I was scamming. You know, I didn't have great sources at the time. He was going to give me stuff to put on the show, but he just liked my New York attitude and the way I talked with people, and he wanted me to do it, and I passed it up. And Black Jack Brown, one of the nicest people ever to come out of, you know, like the journalistic world, like Bill Apter, Black Jack Brown, I mean, photographer, journalist. Here in New York, the Daily News, we used to have an article that was authored by someone called The Slammer. And I think it was every Friday, might have been Friday, but every week The Slammer would come out with his weekly column about wrestling. And so many people thought that Black Jack Brown was The Slammer. And it was funny because you would see The Slammer and then you would ask Black Jack, well, somebody would say to him in person, you know, are you The Slammer? And he's like, do I look like The Slammer? So he died this past weekend, 65 years old. He was living in Michigan, but he was born and raised in Brooklyn. So Black Jack Brown, rest in peace. Good, good guy, man. Good guy. I had fun back in the day talking wrestling with him. I think we have two or three episodes where he's on with us just talking about wrestling. But because he did the 900 numbers, you know, a lot of people got rubbed the wrong way. They felt like they were being, you know, like baited. You know, call the number. You remember all the clickbait for the 900 numbers. You're like, Booker T at SmackDown tonight? I know websites did that too. And then you call the hotline and it'll be like, no, he's a Raw wrestler. You know, like something stupid like that. And you're like, I just paid money for that. Rest in peace, Black Jack Brown. I know there's a lot of people that echo that from our neck of the woods over here in New York. So rest in peace, 65 years old. AEW this Wednesday, we got Jericho versus Wheeler Yuta. If Yuta wins, he gets the shot against Moxley at AEW, you know, P by the C. The Undisputed Elite return. And I kind of felt bad because if you go to AEW social media right now, they posted a tweet about 10 hours ago teasing the Undisputed Elite returning. As of an hour ago, it didn't even have 600 likes. I'm like kind of amazed at that. Thunder Rosa and Tony Storm versus Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Orange Cassidy versus Jay Lethal. Max Caster and Anthony Bowens versus the Gun Club. The Acclaim versus the Gun Club in a dumpster match. Powerhouse Hobbs is going to be wrestling. It'll be a squash match. And Matt Hardy versus Christian Cage. So where we have bots. Oh, I see it. I see the bots. Wait, where's my moderators? No moderators tonight? Okay, hold on. Okay, we reported it. Unwanted commercialist spam. Sorry. We normally don't get them. But I just realized we have nobody here tonight moderating. They're sleeping. No, it's okay. They're not required to be here. So hopefully that was the only one. All right. NXT, they are teasing a loaded show. Chaos is here. Chaos is in the house. Chaos, I'm going to talk about Ric Flair in a minute. What happened to Wardlow? He's sleeping right now. It's late. He's got to get up early for a flight tomorrow. Cora Jade, after throwing the titles in the trash, we're going to have a four-way elimination match to determine the new tag team champions tomorrow. Yulisa Leon and Valentina Ferraz, which have no shot, versus Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley, who I don't think should have a shot, versus Kayden Carter and Katana Chance, which I feel got too many shots, versus Toxic Attraction, which I know a lot of people are kind of tired about that, but I don't know where to go with that tomorrow. You ask me, I kind of fear we may get, you know, Katana Chance and Kayden Carter win it. Not saying that I don't like them, but we just had them lose too many matches. It's almost like the women's street NXT version of the Street Profits, only without the promo ability. Creed Brothers versus Tony D'Angelo and Stax for the NXT tag titles. I bet you a lot of you didn't know that was going down. Solo Sikoa versus Von Wagner. Isn't that Falls Count Anywhere? We got Mandy Rose versus Saray. We have a heatwave summit between Bron Breakker and JD McDonagh. And we have Carmelo Hayes issued late tonight an open challenge. I think tomorrow's his birthday, and he's issuing an open challenge. So we have a pretty loaded NXT tomorrow. Decent show for Dynamite. Unfortunately, there's a lot of names missing on there. So, you know, but I think both shows will be pretty good. All right. I'm looking at my notes, and yeah, we could finish up with Ric Flair. I kind of want to apologize. I know we still have a photo giveaway. We'll do that in a minute. CJ Rocks, thank you for the super chat, but I feel bad that you had to do that. I didn't notice that we had a bot over there. So, but thank you for that, CJ Rocks. I will not feel guilty tomorrow when I buy a scratch-off ticket with you $2. So I'm kidding. Not kidding, but I am kidding. I can't even buy coffee with $2 anymore, but I could buy a scratch-off ticket and I could turn that into $1 million. Do you know, no, I actually take everything here. I put it aside and when I need for expense, that's where it goes. So theme parks with Johnny, just want to voice his opinion. He doesn't think Montez needs to split from the Street Profits for a solo run. He feels you could keep them together. I wholeheartedly agree. If you really look at the Raw roster and the SmackDown roster, you have at least 6 to 8 names that are single stars that you, with the right momentum, could elevate them to main event status. You SmackDown, you got from Kevin Owens to Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley, you know, on SmackDown, Drew McIntyre, Cody Rhodes comes back, you know, before you know it. We're already going to be in, what, September now? August. 3 more months. And you're now starting to tease Royal Rumble. So it's going to get here a lot quicker than you realize. There's so many names. So Montez Ford, yeah, I could see him being IC champ or United States champion. But there's so many other guys that probably should get a heavyweight title run before him. Why are they not worthy for the tag titles? You know, I mean, I'm a little confused. But then again, you know, Clash at the Castle, who knows what's going to go down. I still wonder if RK-Bro is going to reunite. I know we're probably not going to get that, but RK-Bro was something special. And yes, Randy Orton loves being a heel, but I just, in the back of my mind, I still think RK-Bro is a possibility because they don't let that go with Riddle talking about Randy. Even if Randy had a bad back in storyline, why does that motherfucker not show up at all? Why doesn't he show any support for his tag team partner? Why isn't he in the back, you know, just hanging out? You know, it's just the absence kind of leads like nowhere but a heel turn, but we'll see what happens. So, oh, I was joking about that I can't get coffee. Oh, I could get two coffees for that. The deli that my father has, he charges $1 for a coffee. And some of the most amazing coffee. So, yeah, no. Trust me, I appreciate everybody that, you know, contributes here in different ways. It is very appreciated. Do not take that for granted, never. DJ White Sox, Raw is Rampage. Triple H will turn WWE into AEW. What makes you think that, White Sox? There's nothing to lead that way. And what does that even mean to turn it into AEW? I mean, how? You know, AEW is anti-WWE, I think, more than anything else. It's Tony Khan's fantasy of Ring of Honor meets ECW meets New Japan. I don't see Triple H is about the sports entertainment. Triple H is about bringing in Hollywood celebrities, the ones that actually could cross over. You know, as much as people don't like Goldberg, Goldberg came from football. You go back even earlier, you had other wrestlers that came from different mediums, sports, entertainment. So we're getting a couple now, and for the right money and that energy and the buzz and performing in front of tens of thousands of people, you know, that's addicting. That rush is addicting. So, you know, WWE is more of the Hollywood entertainment aspect. You know, it's about spectacle. AEW is more about substance. WWE is more about spectacle. But you now have to, you know, if you're anti-WWE, you have to be concerned. Because if you take that spectacle and you add a lot more substance to it, then you're like, okay, you know, we're onto something here. They start being able to sell out 50,000 seats on every premium live event. You know, it's not out of the realm. So, you know, but AEW is more about substance than spectacle. So, and look, that works for them. You know, you think Tony Khan wants to spend that kind of money on crazy fucking pyro and stuff? Look at Cody back then. Cody, you know, is the one that had this unbelievable, amazing pyro in AEW. And as much as we love Cody now, you look back on it and you kind of feel like, yeah, you know, Tony Khan's probably happy that Cody's gone just for the money they saved on the amount of money they spent on pyro. They hired probably one or two wrestlers as a result. All right, let's finish up with the Ric Flair combo. Ronald Crackdonald, E-I-E-I fucking O. That is the former Ronnie Ciullo. I asked earlier, I said, is this the same Ronnie? Because I saw the channel member logo. And I know we only have one guy named Ronnie that was a channel member here. So he has changed his name to Ronald Crackdonald. Ronald Crackdonald with the 50 spot says, and I quote, "I don't care what Ric Flair has done for wrestling. His retirement match was terrible, uncomfortable, and just to pad his ego and his wallet. You don't reward someone like this in the health he's in, and the asshole faked a heart attack." Okay, pretty strong words there. Big shout out if anybody knows why I used that font, Diary of a Madman. Chat room. Anybody know where that font, Diary of a Madman, is from? Big shout out to anybody who knows. I posted that yesterday, not necessarily to take a shot at Ric Flair. That would, thank you, T. Cannell 15, he was the first one to get it right. Yes, that is Ozzy Osbourne. Even though I'm a fucking Guido for life, doesn't mean that I don't love me a little bit of Ozzy Osbourne. Shit, yeah. But listen, Ric Flair is a madman. Ric Flair is a crazy motherfucker. Someone that has a heart condition like that, someone who was pretty much dead, someone who is frail. I mean, I read yesterday that he's dealing with plantar fasciitis or whatever that shit is called, where your foot is fucked up. And he's like, oh, I'm going to be drinking before my match. This guy is shot. He's in his 70s. And instead of just Rick, go out with your friends, go to conventions, do this in front of the camera, commentate, do a chop, manage, go in someone's corner. You know, no, this guy needed to go into that ring and do what he did. He, as I wrote in the synopsis for today, Ric Flair was able to create the alternate ending for his career and for his life. Now, I'm in my 50s now. There's a lot of things that I regret in my lifetime. I regret more than you could ever imagine that I stopped indie managing in wrestling. I should have never stopped. Physically, it was too much. Literally too much. I loved it, but physically, having headaches and throwing up and having to take loads of painkillers because I have a fucked up hip and pelvis and everything else. Any of you have ever seen the inside of me? I'm the bionic man. I have to show a card wherever I go through a metal detector because I have so much hardware in me. I have a spinal stimulator. I can't fall on my back. You know, there's a lot of things I can't do. I regret stopping, though. I regret a lot of things in life. Unfortunately, I can't think about it. I miss playing softball with my friends. And I stopped way too soon. And I see some of my friends to this day, and they have all these years that they still played softball. And I look back and I'm like, I can't bowl anymore because I tore my arm in three different places falling off a ladder. And there's a lot of things that really, really depress me. I'm not kidding. You know, I won't sit here and say I'm having a mental, you know, breakdown or a really bad day mentally. You know, I just try to like deal like, hey, you know, I can't do those things anymore, but I could do other things that make me happy. The point I'm getting at is that there's a lot of things that a lot of you out there can't do anymore. Or there was things that you had the opportunity to do when you were in your teens, your 20s, your 30s, and you didn't do it. Now it's too late. And it's sad. It's fucking sad. And guess what? We don't get to change the ending of our life, of our career. We have to take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad. You watch a movie and you don't like the ending of the movie. Most movies do not give you alternate endings. You don't like the outcome of this? Oh, well, you could get the alternate ending where it's the total opposite. You know, you can't do that. In the case of Ric Flair, Ric Flair found Conrad, who is related to, found a state in Tennessee, found the opportunity to change the ending of his life and of his career. Instead of a guy who retired and no longer wrestled for many, many years, who is having health issues, who's now in his 70s, who, you know, tomorrow is not guaranteed. Instead of just enjoying himself, relaxing, you know, enjoying the sun, get laid, whatever makes Ric Flair happy. No, he wanted to wrestle. He wanted one last opportunity to walk down that aisle, walk with a championship, you know, that's technically he's not the champion of right now, to feel what he felt 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Any of you out there ever have an amazing date, or you go out with your friends and you have just an absolute amazing night, or maybe some of you got married and your wedding and that moment, you have moments in your life you wish you could bottle it. You went to WrestleMania and you saw something unbelievable in person. ECW One Night Stand, that energy, WrestleMania 1, Hulk Hogan winning the WWF Championship for me. You want to bottle that and you want to save it. And one day you wish you could open that bottle and feel it again. Ric Flair got that opportunity to do that yesterday. He got to change the ending of his wrestling career. He got to change the ending on how he's going to go out in life. And the question is, just because you want to do it, just because you gave us 50 plus years in the ring, does that make it right? And I'll be honest with you. I look at this photo, I'm disturbed. I'm disturbed. That looks like a frail old man who is so desperate to feel what he used to have that he will actually not only put himself in a risk where he could die in the ring, but you have thousands of other fans there that could witness someone dropping dead in the ring. When is that ever appropriate? Okay, so that's what I see. Then I see this. I don't know if I can enlarge it, but I look at this. This reminds me of Jackass when they pay like 80-year-old men to beat the fuck out of each other on a corner, and then everybody laughs and everybody is giggling online. And then you're watching people. I mean, I know this is choreographed, but look at his legs. Look at his arms. Look at him when he walks down the rampway. And look at how he struggles. I mean, this is the last image we want to see Ric Flair in the ring. Bum fights. Thank you, VJ. Looks like bum fights. Now, Jeff Jarrett. I give Jeff Jarrett all the credit in the world and Jay Lethal. And even Andrade also, because those guys, you know, really did their part. It's just the one question I keep asking myself is, should that have happened? I don't care how much you love somebody or you appreciated someone. You know, should I see one of my favorite baseball players who's in his 70s, who misses coming up to home plate, and for one game when the score is 17 to nothing, you know, just throw him a meatball and let him fucking hit the ball and run around the bases and struggle and all this other stuff. You know, there's a reason why we don't see that. That's what Old Timers Day is for. You know, that's what others. I, at the end of the day, this is my opinion on this. And I'm going to just summarize it and be out of here. At the end of the day, I'm happy that Ric Flair got closure. I'm happy that Ric Flair got to write the alternate ending for a movie that would have had a tragic finish. You know, you look at the last, you know, 5-10 years, from relationships to his body breaking down to what went on in the hospital and not being able to do things and having all these health issues. Now he closes his book, you know, the way he wanted to close the book. So I have to applaud that. That motherfucker worked his ass off to get to this moment. And I commend that. And I'm happy that he did not have any serious injury or tragedy. I know afterwards he was just done, spent beyond belief. I just can't get past. I don't care how inspirational it is. I don't care how emotional it is when people are crying and this and that. You know, I mean, I don't want to compare, but you got to bring it up. You look at Ric Flair's history with women and what just fucking was rehashed with Dark Side of the Ring. And then you see Vince McMahon in the ring with Steve Austin. And some people were crying tears yesterday are doing the exact opposite for Vince McMahon. I'm like, listen, with all due respect, you know, which person? It's like, it's almost like, okay, instead of shooting me, you stab me instead. Like, neither one is good. You know, it's like, because you have that emotional attachment, an inspirational story. People want that emotional rush. And that overtook this. The fact is that we had a man in his 70s that 95% of doctors out there say, you're fucking nuts. I ain't fucking clearing you for this. But you go to a state that has almost no state athletic commission. You find one doctor that says, yeah, I think you could do it. You make it a tag team. So if he gets blown up, you know, that Andrade could go in there, or Jay Lethal, or it could be a distraction. Jerry Lawler was at ringside and all this other stuff. Whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, this is what you had. You had a 70-something-year-old, fragile, broken man with a pacemaker, with wrinkles upon wrinkles, that looks like bum fights. And this is not the image that I want to see Ric Flair go out in. I don't care how much he wanted it. There's a lot of wrestlers in the last 50 years that wish they could have gotten that one last shot at the limelight. You don't do it simply because you love the person, because you really care about the person. You know, you know, it's just, I don't know. I applaud Ric Flair for all of the hard work he put in. And that guy's gangster. That guy is gangster. He was passionate. I'm not going to die never being able to go out in the ring as a winner. I'm not going to go out not one more chance to feel it, to absorb it. So I give that motherfucker credit for working his ass off to even getting himself in this opportunity. But that shit should never happen again. I don't care if it's Terry Funk, who is my favorite wrestler of all time. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's me. I don't care if I'm in my 70s and I'm half dead and my dream is to, you know, manage one more time or take a little bump or something like that. And some promotion says, hey, you want to do it? No. There's a reason why. You know, it's just, that shouldn't have happened yesterday. Shouldn't have happened. Thank God he's okay. I give Conrad all the credit in the world for making this as safe as possible. I give all the other guys, from Jay Lethal to Jeff Jarrett and others, who went over and beyond to try to make this as easy as possible for Ric Flair. I give Ric Flair credit for working his ass off to get to this moment, but that was uncomfortable. That's the word that I agree with you, Ronald, with more than anything. That was uncomfortable. And here's one last thing in closing. I watched that match after it was over. I was live for the sit down. We went off the air knowing that Ric Flair won with the figure four. So when I watched that match, I already knew he didn't die. I already knew he didn't collapse. I already knew he didn't tear anything. I already knew that what I was going to see. So I was able to go into that with a clear head. I already know the outcome. I already know he's okay. So now when I watch it, now I'm just watching it with an open mind and saying, okay, should we be seeing somebody? I mean, I remember the Hulkamania tour in Australia. And just go to Wayback Machine and look at how the IWC and us and everyone else totally destroyed that. And that was over 10 years ago. And Ric Flair looked 10 times better then, and Hogan still looked decent, but it looked ridiculous. It looked like guys that just don't know when to fucking let it go. Yeah, this is one night, but it was more than just one night. And everybody in media land is going to cover it and sensationalize it because it's a big story. That's why everybody was covering it. But a lot of people out there, this should never be comfortable. This should never be the exception to the rule. It's like, oh, it's just Ric Flair. Look, he, you know, he never retired, this and that. No. This is a fucking 70-something-year-old man with major heart issues, with other health problems. If he fucking drops dead in the ring, I don't care if he's got it cemented to his chest. Nobody gets sued. This is my choice only. I hold everyone, hold harmless against everyone. It's not Conrad's fault. It's not this person's fault. It's my choice. It's my decision. No. No. We never should want to see someone take that risk. You know? It's... No. No. I commend him, but I don't ever want to see that ever again. I don't give a fuck who it is. I will miss a wrestler. If I want to see that wrestler still, I'll go watch reruns. That man wanted to feel it one more time. Wanted to bake it in, take it in one more time. He got to do what 99.9% of wrestlers will never be able to do. And good for him that he got out of it, you know, without something worse. So that's it. That's it. I was very uncomfortable. And that was after knowing that he was okay. Could you imagine how some people felt? You imagine if he would have died in that ring? I mean, what? So everybody could podcast? That everybody's going to live stream? That everybody's going to be like, I was there and I'm going to interview this person. Oh, John was sitting third row and Ric Flair collapsed. And Jesus, I would have gotten so mad at myself if I didn't say this. Ronnie brought it up. This motherfucker faked a heart attack during the match yesterday. This motherfucker started grabbing his heart to swerve Jay Lethal and then poke him in the eye. With all due respect, this is not Bryan Danielson, who is still young enough, who is selling that he might have a concussion in a match with Daniel Garcia. This motherfucker legitimately faked a heart attack. It was disgusting in WCW 20-something years ago. When that heart attack angle came out, I think Meltzer at that time, it was the worst angle of the year. I covered it on my hotline. It was disgusting, embarrassing, inappropriate, horrible, Ric Flair. And then they tried to play it off like, no, he was just dehydrated or spent. They faked a heart attack angle in WCW. And for over two decades, Ric Flair in interviews, that was terrible, that was disgusting, that was tasteless, that was wrong, that was this, and the motherfucker does it at a point where everybody in that building, in the back of their mind, is wondering, is this guy going to catch a heart attack? You do it when you're 40 or 50, okay. You know, it's still fucked up, but you're 40 or 50 and it's out of the ordinary to catch a heart attack, but you're 70-something with a pacemaker, and you're supposed to be the baby face. And during the match yesterday, you fake a heart attack right in front of Foley, right in front of Undertaker. He's holding his chest. And I wonder how many people honestly thought for a moment that he legitimately was catching a heart attack. That is unacceptable. If that wouldn't have happened yesterday, I might have been a little bit more easy on this. And again, at the end of the day, you know, this is just my opinion and you may totally disagree with me. I don't ever want to see that shit ever again. I don't ever want to see that ever again. So he is savage for faking a heart attack, man. It takes balls. By the way, I'll leave you all with this. I'm not going to talk about either guy. I do subscribe to Fightful, you know, but obviously, for anybody that follows online, Sean Rossap and Bill Bahati have had some wild, heated exchanges in recent times. I don't enjoy it. I stay out of it. I try to just have fun on these shows. And I saw these two guys arguing at StarCast. And as I saw it, I said to myself, there is something missing about that picture. Now, my Photoshop skills are not all that great, but I thought, okay, that looks a little better, right? Anybody that watches AEW, that watches Aubrey Edwards, come on, you got to give me a little credit for that one. When she just pops her head up and she's like this, she's like, we needed Aubrey Edwards to get in the middle of that. Seriously, come on. It's not the greatest Photoshop, but I'll take it. So, yeah, look, I don't like wars. I don't like fighting with anyone. What you see is what you get. You know, I'm too tired. I'm too old. You know, I just try to have fun on these shows. Hopefully, I get you to laugh a little bit. We have a little fun. We get our minds off of all the bullshit going on in the world. And we have a good time. That's all these shows are about. And to obviously report accurate stuff. All right, very quickly. As I said earlier, we were going to give away this Roman Reigns signed photo, this Brock Lesnar signed photo. Now, a little different with watch parties going forward. Two things. Number one, we're only going to do giveaways once a week from now on. So even when we do like NXT watch parties, we will do all the drawings in one night. So next Monday, we will draw Raw, SmackDown, and NXT again. Another thing is when you win, your entry comes off the wheel. So when we spin the wheel again, you know, that gives better odds for someone else. For example, you see Rams fan here? It's on Rams fan for no, for, you know, just for example. Now, let's say Rams fan won just now. I would then take Rams fan off the wheel for the remaining drawings for the night. So now I'm going to spin this wheel, and we're going to give away the Brock Lesnar photo first. Good luck. Whoever wins it, I'll remove them from the wheel, and then we'll see who wins the Roman Reigns. All right. AS7607. Wow. It almost landed in the middle. You would have won anyway. So AS7607, she gets the autographed Brock Lesnar photo. Congratulations. And by magic, I now could remove AS7607 from the wheel. I will save it, and you will see her entry disappear. Okay, there you go. She's gone. So now the odds open up a little bit better for someone else. So AS7607 gets the Brock Lesnar signed photo. Let's see who gets the Roman Reigns signed photo. You know, we're always kind of like morphing on these. We'll tweak it as we go along. Who wins the Roman Reigns photo? Let's see if it pisses anybody off. Johnny Tutton. Good for you, Johnny. He wins the Roman Reigns photo. So tomorrow we have NXT. I have not decided yet what we're going to do as a giveaway, but I think we're going to do something different, not signed photos. I think we've run the gamut with the signed photos for a little while. So I will think about it, and I'll let you all know on the community section on YouTube and on Twitter as well, at Don Tony D. And Johnny Tutton. Johnny's in the watch. He chats, but I don't think he's ever been on stage. So, all right. With that said, I am out of here. We actually ended up going, wow, an hour and 45 minutes, a little bit longer. But I think I could do Don Tony stuff. I think I have like three or four bobbleheads still. We could do a Don Tony giveaway one day soon. I would kind of feel embarrassed, though, if we did that and only three people showed up in the watch party. Like, unfortunately, there's no way I could, like, add bots or, like, have, like, multiple accounts because everything is run by IPs and logins and stuff. So I would be kind of offended if I said, yeah, we're going to give away all this Don Tony stuff, shirt, bobblehead, mug, and only two people show up, you know. And then with my luck, it'll be, like, Nier from Israel and it'll be Javier from Puerto Rico. And either way, I got to pay $70 in shipping. I'm only joking. By the way, Nia, let me know if you got the Adam Bomb figure. Ship that all the way to Israel. I hope you got it by now. So, all right. Oh, Nia just woke up. Wow. I kind of feel bad. But don't super chat this, but did you get the Adam Bomb figure? Because I love when I ship things like thousands and thousands of miles away and it shows up. So tomorrow I'll be shipping out a bunch of stuff. The guy that sent me the Liv Morgan photos, he was a little bit late with it, but I have them now. So the Liv Morgan stuff will go out. the Nikita Lyons stuff I already have, the Gigi Dolan stuff I already have, and tomorrow we'll come up with something big. I actually have an old school WWF board game, never opened, still sealed on eBay right now. It's going for like $199. I actually was thinking about doing it as a giveaway tomorrow, but I don't have any big box to ship it in. So, but it's a sealed board game from WWF back in the 80s or yeah, late 80s, I think it was. So we'll figure something out. But everyone, I'm going to jet out of here. I hope you all had a great weekend. You know, let me know what you felt about the Ric Flair stuff. You know, I'm not trying to be an asshole about it. I give nothing but respect for Conrad and everybody else. Because, look, that was more than just a Ric Flair retirement match. There was a whole card on that show. And it was a big convention as well. And there was just beautiful, you know, moments going on the entire weekend. You know, so I don't want anybody to feel that, you know, StarCast 5 shouldn't have happened. I wish I could have gone, but I got a wedding to pay off and I can't spend that kind of coin. But just for the Ric Flair stuff, even if it was my dad, you know, my dad's a triple degree black belt. If I had the wherewithal and the capability to like book one last karate match for my father, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't even dare. You know why? Because my father's got a pacemaker too. My father had quadruple bypass. My father had the Widowmaker. My father should be dead by now. And I want my father to stay here. I want to see my father next year, the year after, the year after that, year after that. I'm not going to put my dad in a position. I don't care how much he wants it, how much he needs it, how much he's got to have it. Nah, man, I'm not going to be part of that. You know, I want my father to stay. I'm not going to put him in a position that, oh, but he was happy. No, that's not the way we operate, everybody. So, all right, I'm out of here. Be well. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.